The Iron Claw is a wrestling movie about the Von Erich family, but is this a champion of a movie, or does it have an Achilles heel turn? I'm Darren.
And I'm Mike.
And this is Popscut.
Welcome to Popscorn, the Film Entertainment Movie Review Podcast, and today we let Darren do the intro because I am not the wrestling guy.
No, you are not, and this is not the film to get you started.
Not particularly. Today we're reviewing The Iron Claw. I apologise if there's any background noise. You said family. It's very much a family affair in this room today because the lovely dog is also joining us.
Hello, dog.
Hey, Sylvie.
All right.
You're a good girl. She's
giving me the wide eye whilst chewing her toy.
Yeah.
I'll give it for her size. She's... Vociferous? Is that the word?
She's certainly well into that gigantic rubber pink spiky ring. She's bringing this to show us.
Oh, thank you for showing me your big pink ring.
And on that bombshell. No, right, okay. The Iron Claw. It's a movie that came out, oh Christ, I want to say the start of February.
Start of February, so we are a bit late to this one, admittedly.
Yeah, we're late to a lot of things. We're going to be late to everything, and also we're probably going to miss the Oscars.
Oh yeah, how's that going?
Badly. I have, life update, not even an update, just my life's real fucking busy.
Yes.
So we've had... We were running a campaign for a friend of ours to get selected as a candidate to be MP. Didn't win, but we wasted a lot of time on it. Then we got Caroline's thing. She's getting re-elected now.
Right.
In May, but we need to start doing it now.
Yes.
Then I bought a new TV. You've seen it.
I've seen the new TV.
It's pretty dope, so I've been doing that. And amongst other things... Oh, more stuff with the union and at work. So I've been real busy. I've been trying to see as many movies as I can.
It's not going well.
I tell you how many I have seen in the actual room to the Oscars. 2 out of the 40-odd I've only... In terms of new ones seen this year.
And it's 2 weeks away?
It's 3 days away.
Oh, it's 3 days
so,
away?
So it's unlikely we're going to do a Oscars episode this year. I'd love to do one after the fact. This is my thing and I've failed dramatically. I'll tell you, I've not watched a single documentary. I've not watched a single international movie. The only, I'm pretty sure the only animated movie I've seen is Spider-Verse.
Right.
So I'm doing real bad.
Okay.
Unless there's a Disney one that's been nominated, I don't know. Regardless,
it's
not going great.
Okay.
I started Killers of the Flower Moon last night. That's a 3.5-hour movie. So we're halfway through that. And in terms of the best pictures things, the only ones I haven't seen are American Fiction, The Holdovers, and The Zone of Interest. I missed The Zone of Interest. I think I've missed American Fiction, but I can at least rent The Holdovers.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, it's been real bad for Oscar season.
Right.
Mostly because I put serious money on The Iron Claw being nominated.
Yeah.
And it not a thing.
Not a single goddamn thing. Which I think, from the outset, cards on the table...
Mm.
I think it's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Of your three, when I think of wrestling movies, three come to mind.
Yes.
One of them is not Ready to Rumble, the awful 90s schlock that stars David Arquette that was sponsored by a going out of business WCW.
Not that.
Not that one. It did lead to David Arquette legitimately winning the WCW World Heavyweight Championship.
Which is hysterical.
As a marketing stunt. Not that one. I think of The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke.
Yes.
The Darren Aronofsky film.
Yes.
Fighting with My Family.
Yes.
And this.
Yes.
I think of those three, this is probably the one I'd say I like the most.
Yeah. I'm willing to join you on that as well.
Because I think it strikes a nice middle ground between the two of The Wrestler is the proper, down and dirty, horrible, let's all have a big think piece about wrestling.
Mm.
And then you've got Fighting with My Family, which is a popcorn movie.
Yes.
It's airbrushed to all get out. It very much doesn't resemble real life. This, I feel, does. It's if you saw it as a script and you thought it was fiction, you'd say, well, this is a bit grim. No one's ever going to believe all these things happened. However, it's a biography, and yes, all of these terrible things did happen. Oh, I didn't even tell you. There's actually more tragedy in real life. There's a brother missing.
What?
There is another Von Erich brother who also died tragically.
Just not in the movie.
And I read the director say, I had to cut him, it was horrible, but it was already a sad film. And the choice was either the film doesn't get made or we cut a brother.
You got to cut a brother.
So we cut a brother.
Okay.
We naughted a brother.
What happened to that guy? And who was he?
I'll look it up at some point. But yeah, okay. he along the same lines as the tragedy that happened in this movie. Minor spoiler alert, I guess.
Yeah.
Some people die.
It ain't good.
No. I'll look that up at some point and tell you. But
should probably get the cast up, shouldn't
that I? That'd be a good idea. So if you are unaware, and trust me, I'm not going to go into a massive diatribe wrestling history lesson. I want to and I could do, but I won't because this isn't anything I've watched.
Mm.
This happened in the 80s. It happened back in the territory days. I've never seen a Von Erich wrestle.
Mm.
Let's put it that way. Tell a lie, the kids of Kevin Von Erich, Zac Efron's character.
Yes.
They are now making sporadic appearances in AEW. Oh. Why, for love of sweet suffering Jesus, they've chosen a life of being a wrestler considering this happened to them.
Yep.
I don't know. But to each their own. So back in the day,
yes,
before Vince McMahon came along and made first of all, nationwide and then a worldwide wrestling company, wrestling was very territorial in America. You had, basically, it was split up by either states or like kind of a collection of states would be your territory. New York was a territory ran by Vince's dad. You had big ones in Florida, big ones in the Carolinas, etc., etc., etc. The Von Erichs ran the Texas promotion, basically, the Texas territory. Patriarch Fritz Von Erich.
Hell of a name. Strong name.
Decided to become, who changed his name to become more Germanic because he wanted to play a Nazi heel, basically. Easy heat. In this film, he has four sons.
Yes.
In real life, he had five. but one was so tragic, he would make the film unfilmable, so fair enough. And this is about them. Him basically trying to push his sons as the big stars in Texas, trying to get notice on a national level.
Yes.
That's your potted history. So when this was first brought up, I was like, I don't know why you've chosen this story because there's no happy ending here. It's a miserable fucking film. And it turns out, miserable fucking film.
Yep.
This is why we've recorded this episode first, because we've got Madam Web to do next.
We have.
And I felt like we needed the trough before we got to the very much the peak of what is going to be the Madam Web review.
That is cinema.
My God.
That's a spoiler for the next episode.
So it is. So, heading up the cast.
Yes.
It's a Zac Efron movie. Unlike any other.
Mm.
Someone at work was like, oh, I watch all of Zac Efron movies. What's this one about? I was like, it's not. This ain't Baywatch.
This ain't Neighbours. This is not High School Musical.
That it is.
Are
not.
You ready for simple and sad Zac Efron?
Oh, he's a simple boy. That's a good word for it. So he's playing Kevin Von Erich,
yes,
the second eldest of the kids.
Yeah.
Because I think...
Is David older?
I think Kerry's oldest. So Jeremy Allen White's character, I think he's the oldest.
Okay.
Kevin's the second one.
Then David.
Then David.
Then Mike.
Redacted. Then Mike.
Redacted.
At least I think he's the eldest.
Yes, Kevin is the second son. Kerry is the fourth son, apparently.
Oh.
Fritz is the third, and redacted when it comes to everybody else, apparently. Yeah, Mike's the youngest, which makes him son five. Five, right. Three, four, two. So they cut the first son.
Oh, sorry, yes. So he's a second son, but that's because the first son of Fritz Von Erich died when he was a kid.
Right, gotcha.
So he's the eldest of the remaining ones.
Got it.
Kevin Von Erich, he's basically got into wrestling business to try and appease his dad.
Yes.
First of all, Zach. Good God, man.
The first shot he's in,
yes,
is he wakes up in a child's bed.
Yes.
And then you see the Dorito-shaped form that he has taken on for this movie.
I think the words that came out were, sweet Jesus Christ. He's massive.
He takes Giga Chad to a new
really
level.
Thing is, Kevin Von Erich wasn't that big.
No.
Kevin Von Erich was a... The Von Erichs are all kind of string bean proportions. Like, none of them are all that jacked, and yet...
Somehow.
Oh, good God almighty.
Good reason to get jacked, apparently.
Really was. And he's got the accurate shit hair that all Von Erichs have.
Yes, they've all got, like, this kind of, like, very untamed, yes, just mop.
So I remember I sent
down.
You the cast picture and was like, you were like, those some shit wigs. And I was like, those some historically accurate shit wigs.
Are they in a wrestling movie or are they in an early 80s gay porn? Who knows?
Who knows? So there's not much to him because he's very much the protagonist and he is the most... straightforward of the kids, I would say.
Yeah.
He is good in the ring. He's definitely the most talented of the three, at least at the outset of the movie.
Yeah.
But he cannot talk to save his life. And that's problematic when you want to be a wrestler. And I think Zac Efron does a good performance, but he's asked a lot physically. It doesn't seem like, until he gets some of the later moments where he's really like, shit's hit the fan and he's got to do some acting. He's got a relatively easy ride because, again, he's just playing the simple man.
Pretty much.
But still, I thought it was a very good performance.
I thought it was complex in its simplicity in, yes, that he's a very straightforward character. He likes, yes, two things. He likes doing please his father.
Yes.
And he likes very bland, mundane life.
Yes.
He wants to just be married and have a child and have a house. And that is, yes, all he cares about.
He just wants to chill with his brothers.
Yeah.
This entire movie, yeah, of course, just a bunch, yeah, of brothers who just want to hang out on their farm together.
That is literally, that scene is great with the whole... Because Lily James was also in the movie.
Yes.
Playing... oh, Christ. Von Erich's wife.
Yeah, so she ends up married to Zac Efron.
Yes.
She is playing Pam Adkisson.
There we go. So early on, you get the first date scene.
Yes.
And it's very much like, so what do you like to do? Wrestle. Anything else? Hanging out with my brothers. What do you like to do with your brothers? Wrestle. That's, yeah, it. That's the man.
What if Forrest Gump was a wrestler?
Yeah, he really is. What if, yes, Forrest Gump was a wrestler?
Essentially.
But, you know, he knows he wants to get married. He knows, yes, he wants to have a child. But, yes, other than that, he just wants to live a straightforward life where he pleases everybody.
Yes.
And that is the depth of the character.
Yes.
And then it's just, the movie's just... Could you think of the worst things that could happen to this rather simplistic,
yes,
non-assuming man?
Yes.
And then they happen to.
Yeah, I think, like, is it good enough to get a Best Actor nom? I don't know, I haven't seen The Field. Probably not. Or at least he wouldn't get a win.
No.
But, like, it's a strong anchoring performance for what is an otherwise... Like, they don't do an ensemble cast at the Oscars, do they?
No. There's calls for several different things to be introduced. I think the one is going to be introduced next will be Best Casting, which I think this film could have been in the running with if it was an award this year.
There's some people who are cast very well.
And there's one person who is not.
We'll get to him.
We'll get to him.
Oh, my God. Right, then we have to get to Jeremy Allen White.
Oh. The unsettling man himself.
So unsettling.
Cousin! Sorry.
The bear. He's Kerry Von Erich.
He is. We've not done a podcast since the other bear-related thing happened.
What was the other bear-related
Fantastic
thing?
Fantastic
Four. No, we haven't not.
I got to say, that is genius casting to put
yeah,
Evan Moss Backrack as the thing.
And it kind of... Well, they're doing multiverse stuff. So it doesn't matter that he was also a microchip,
no,
I guess.
No, doesn't matter.
Punisher. So no one gives a shit about the Punisher. I love the Punisher series, but not a lot of people do. Yeah, great casting as Thing. Great. The only one I'm not 100% sold on is Human Torch, because I was like,
yeah,
Eddie in Stranger Things was great, but he wasn't...
It's not Johnny.
It wasn't Johnny energy.
He's got the most to prove. I feel like it's him, then Pedro, because... I like Pedro in either very downbeat or completely goofy roles.
Yes,
you've got to, you know, you've got to be a stern middleman as a
lead. Yeah.
And then like Sue, and then Thing.
Oh yeah, like yeah. Vanessa Kirby, perfect.
Yeah,
but I'm like, Steve was right there in Stranger Things.
Yeah,
and
that is a Human Torch.
Maybe he's slightly older than, I can't remember the guy who played Eddie in
Joseph Quinn.
Him, maybe he's slightly older, but I'm like, surely to God, if you're looking for Johnny Storm energy.
Yeah. I'm hoping he auditioned really well. That's what I'm hoping.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a strong cast.
Mm.
I think they're banking on Pedro.
Yeah.
As like, we need someone. he's the it actor of the time.
They do appear to be fixing the Reed problem of nobody likes Reed Richards by casting somebody that everyone likes.
It's a good strategy, I'll give him that. There's rumblings that not only are they not showing restraint to be Fantastic Four bad guys, they're having all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Galactus, Silver Surfer,
Doctor Doom. Yeah, all of
Doom
the same
may
movie.
Be a response to, well, we can't use Kang anymore.
Yeah, they've super not, like, actors have come forward and said, I wouldn't mind being recast as Kang.
And then,
like, Colman Domingo, who's up for Best Actor this year for Rustin, who's pretty good in it. Like, it's not Kang energy, but, like, it would be interesting to have him as a variant.
Right.
But, like, they very much are, like, just going, let's just get fucking Doom in. Let's just do new Secret Wars with God Emperor Doom. That's kind of where they're going.
I really like that direction of travel if they can just stall out that Avengers move for a little bit to establish Doom more. Because, like, that was his role. But, like, don't waste Doom. You've done it twice already.
It feels like you've got to do a good X-Men movie, a good AVX movie, a good Fantastic Four movie, a second good Fantastic Four movie, then you can do God Emperor Doom.
Yes.
Like, those seem to be the prerequisites for me anyway.
I'd have thought so. I have also heard, like, well, Miles Teller's back being fun stuff. Do you make him...
The Maker.
Do you make him the Maker? And I'm like, I don't know, he was really shit as Reed Richards.
I think he could do it. I liked him in Top Gun Maverick.
I did like him in Top Gun Maverick.
He's massively improved since
Van Forster. That's not the Maker, is it?
It's not the Maker. You've got a
goose's son with a silly mustache.
Anyway.
So, Jeremy Allen, I should point out, I just find him unsettling. I think he's actually a very good actor.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
He's put a lot of definition for this one. Good job.
The guy has eaten out on the body he was able to get for this role, because he's now the new face of Calvin Klein underwear. That is an unsettling advert.
I wouldn't want Jeremy.
it's him like scaling a fucking building in like white boxes. It's unsettling to look at. You're like, I respect this man's acting talents, but this is like...
I don't need this.
It's like the opposite end of the bell curve that George Clooney advertising Nespresso is. Like,
right, okay. That makes complete and utter sense.
Yep.
This does not.
This does not.
Like I said, for all my misgivings about him, I do think he's a very good actor, and I think he does a good job here of So he's trained to be Olympian. And due to the boycott that they did of the Olympics, he doesn't get to go to the Olympics. I think he's either discus or hammer throw.
He's one of the two.
One of the two. I can't remember.
Isn't he a triathlete?
Or maybe.
Anyway, something like that.
So it was like, right, he comes back in and Fritz von Erich is like the dad. He's like, great, I've got another son to put into the act. Here we go. And he's already said, I'll save him Fritz von Erich, but let's bring him up.
Mm.
Oh...
It's a great performance, but Jesus Christ, is it one of the most hateable characters of the
year? Easily.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have a real problem with Fritz von Erich on a few levels. I'll get to the kind of meta one later, but the first line he says in the movie, pretty much, at least in the modern day of the movie, he just goes straight out loud, look, we all know that Kerry's my favourite, then it's Kevin, then it's you, and then it's Mike. Right, that's it. And he's completely telling the truth there. He's playing favourites and he's not having any subtlety about it.
The favourites is a plot line. Like, throughout the movie, the ordering of the son's preference comes back and forth through the narrative. And it leads to just... It's not even really a downfall, because the guy starts on completely the wrong foot. You kind of...
Yes.
They do that very short black and white prologue.
Yes.
And he goes, oh, okay, he's trying to make a living for his family.
Yes.
He's trying to build a legacy. Yes. You know, very kind of like maybe first child of the boomer's energy.
Yes. Yeah.
And then like, oh, you're just a douche. And like, things are only going to get worse.
A terrible human being. And like, the funny thing is, the movie goes out of its way to basically paint him as the villain.
Mm.
All of this stuff, however you want to believe in curses or whatever, is happening because he's playing his kids off against each other.
Mm-hmm.
He's drilling them into the ground. And he's clearly just looking to cement his promotion. He wants the Von Erich name to be famous as a nationwide wrestler and all that jazz. All of this can be traced back to him.
Yep.
However, Holt McCallany?
Yeah,
Holt. The actor who plays him...
Yeah, Paul McCallany, that sounds
doesn't share that sentiment that it's all Fridge on Eric's fault.
You were telling me about this interview.
Yes, I haven't been able to find it, but I did see like one of the many thousands of wrestling accounts that are on my suggested channel was like, oh, he's really drinking the Kool-Aid, because he's like, no, how dare you say it's Fritz's problem? It's like, as an actor, what did you think you were playing the hero in this movie? I just happened to do a villain performance.
There's method acting, and then there's that.
There's that.
Yeah.
He genuinely seemed to think that, no, Fritz von Erich just really loved his kids and was trying to push them to be better versions of themselves. Not in a toxic way.
No.
No.
Not in a, you better be the best of my five stroke four sons.
Or I'm just going to basically disown you and act like you don't exist. Oh, God.
Yep.
So, yeah, Kerry comes back into the fold. Instantly, he's like, right, great. We're doing it as a three-man team. It's going to be you, Kevin, and David Von Erich, played by Harris Dickinson. That sounds like a name I should know.
It is a name you should know. He was in The King's Man.
Of course he was.
There you go.
He's got blonde hair in this. It kind of threw me off.
Yeah, he was also in The Triangle of Sadness from last year's Oscars, and I like him in it, but that movie is weird.
Right, okay.
But he is a good actor. I mean, I'm interested to see more of Harris Dickinson. Harris Dickinson is getting the roles that I thought... what's the dude's name from 1917?
George
Mackay?
Yes, yeah.
He's getting the roles I think George Mackay is more than qualified to do.
Right, okay.
But he's at least doing a good job. Sweet. So I can't be angry.
So he's kind of... Him and Kevin Von Erich are early on, before Kerry gets put into the mix. David Von Erich is clearly more comfortable talking to people and cutting promos. And he does that. That gets the crowd on his side. And his dad, you can almost see, immediately flips. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're abandoning plans for Kevin Von Erich to be the champion. David, you're now going to be the champion because you're my favourite. Bellend. And it's all in the chase to get the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. So although everything was territorial, everyone worked together in something called the National Wrestling Alliance, which had the champion that would tour the territories.
Hang on, sorry, that's the NWA.
Yes, it's the NWA. It is the NWA.
That makes this better movie already.
That it does.
Oh my
Ric
gosh.
Flair was the NWA champion.
Shannon of Texas, a couple of dudes with bad hair. No, I can't even think of something that rhymes with attitude.
So they would tour the territory, so your champion would only be there for a little bit, so getting a title fight was meaningful. And they do give Kevin Von Erich, Zac Efron the first swing at it when it's Harley Race, very well cast. I don't know who played him, but absolutely nailed Harley, like bang on. He has a match. Obviously, they kind of find a way to skirt round kayfabe in this. They don't dwell on it as much as either the wrestler or... Well, Fighting My Family doesn't really dwell on it all that much, but the wrestler really does. Mm. It's basically explained a way of... Kevin Von Erich on the first date says, no, it's predetermined. It's not... You know, we're still out there. We are getting hurt. We are doing moves. And he actually gave a very succinct explanation that I may use going forward of like, in any job, you are evaluated on your performance and you either go up or you go down based on that performance. And wrestling is the ultimate meritocracy. If you're very good at what you do, sooner rather than later, you will move to the top.
Mm.
It's called the Bryan Danielson theorem of like, if you're just that good, they can't ignore you forever.
Yep.
And he was saying, so I'm going to become the champion if I can prove that I am very good, I am worthwhile, I can make somebody money, etc., etc., etc. Kevin fails. And it is then, right, well, next time round, it's going to be David's go. And David's going on a tour to Japan, and he's the brilliant one.
I think there's only really one problem with... Because I agree with you. As somebody who's not familiar with wrestling,
yes,
the idea of the card being your performance review,
yes,
it works, and you suddenly understand how it's an evaluative kind of like, you need to be the best performer you can be,
yes,
otherwise you're not going to rise the card. You're not going to get a promotion.
Yes.
The problem is that it tells you straight out, every wrestling match is predetermined, but it's real death-defying stunts.
Yes.
Perfectly understand
yes.
that. It then robs the dramatic tension of like, oh no, I didn't beat this guy.
Yes.
It's like, you would have been told beforehand you weren't going to beat
him.
That guy. And
yes.
therefore, like, I appreciate that is, you know, it's the storytelling method of wrestling as an art form.
Yes.
But I'm watching it. It's two layers deep. I'm watching a wrestling match inside of a movie which has been constructed.
Yes.
So it didn't, It didn't work narrative. It was good for me to be able to see it.
Yes.
To understand what went down, to for us to be a wrestling sequence in a wrestling movie.
Yes.
Fucking novel idea.
I think it looked really good.
Yes.
And you're right. I think it's always going to be a problem you have to engineer your way around. Hmm. Because you can't have the dramas hard to do. Because you're right, that you get told ahead of time he's not going to win, but if he does a good enough performance, maybe when they come back he will be champion.
Mm.
You are right, and that I've never really landed on like the ideal way that I could think of to engineer your way around that problem. But I think this one comes closest of all of them. They don't go out and say like, oh yeah, he's going before the match, they don't say you're going to lose. But you can tell afterwards when they're going over the action, he's like thinking, well, do you think I did good enough to have him come back? Do you think I engaged the crowd enough? He's asking the questions of, not like, did I not get tight enough a roll upon him in order to pin his match to three? He's like,
yeah.
Do you think I connected? Do you think I made a buzz?
Were you over with them? I think that's exactly a term they use, isn't it? Are you over with the crowd?
Well done, Michael. Well done.
I'm doing it. I'm understanding things.
I've rubbed off on you after 10 years doing this podcast.
Yeah, we've been close friends and finally it happened.
It's about goddamn time.
Yes.
So let's just dive into the misery, shall we?
Yep.
I don't think there's anyone else I really want to mention before we kind of get into light. But, well, okay, two people I want to mention.
Yes.
First of all, poor MJF.
Dude was so hyped to be in that movie.
Yes.
I remember MJF making a big deal of it because I saw something about him being in. I was like, oh, well, so they're getting a current shit heel wrestler to be in this movie. And are they going to make a new Rock, a new Batista out of this guy?
There's pictures of him at the premiere. He met John Cena. He met a lot of other people. It was great. He was cast as Lance Von Erich.
Mm.
So basically, at a point we'll talk to him about spoilers, they needed a spare Von Erich, but there was none left. So they just invented a Von Erich. They picked
Christ.
A random guy, said, your last name's Von Erich now, you're a cousin, and get in there. And apparently he did have a more substantive role in this film, but they've essentially cut him down to a cameo appearance in one scene where he doesn't say anything.
Yep.
And he's just kind of, he's in the foreground of the shot, but you're very much focusing on the background where Zac Efron is looking sad on a ring apron. So poor MJF. Right, before we really get into it. We're going to talk about this guy. So like I said, Harley Race, perfect casting.
Yeah,
excellent.
Really good.
They get a guy to be Michael Hayes, great casting. Bruiser Brody, great. Chavo Guerrero Jr., which is Eddie Guerrero's nephew, but they were essentially brothers because of age range and stuff.
Right.
He played the Sheik. I don't really remember who that was in the context of the film.
It wasn't much of a big role, but at least, I think they got the iconography of the character just fine.
Yes, but he's basically Hollywood's go-to wrestler in order to teach wrestling in films. So I think he also worked on Fighting With My Family. In fact, I know for certain he worked on Fighting With My Family to choreograph the fights. I saw an interview with him. They asked him, do you think, given a little bit of time to prepare, Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White could do a wrestling match? And he was like, I'm pretty certain they could. It wouldn't be spectacular, but, they understood everything. They were doing everything crisply. He's like, I reckon, not even against actual wrestling. I think against each other, they could do a pretty, decent celebrity
match.
Which
would be interesting to see.
It really would. I'd love AEW to jump on that because they could do with some celebrity endorsements. WWE's fine. They've literally got Logan Paul as their US champion.
Yep.
They're fine.
That's mental to me that's happening.
Oh, he's actually good, though. It's really fucking irritating.
Oh, no.
He's genuine. Every time I see him wrestle, every year at WrestleMania, he does the Wes Mantoo performance of...
Right.
With every inch of my soul, I pure straight hate you, but god damn it, do I respect you. He's so good at
what?
Both. He gets the character work. He was a bell end anyway. And they cast him as a heel, so it works.
Right.
He's really good in the ring.
Oh, no.
Really?
I don't like this.
Oh, I fucking hate it.
Have you seen the news from today that people in the office just wouldn't shut up about?
No.
He's boxing Tyson.
Oh, his brother's boxing Tyson.
Yeah, Jake Paul. Sorry, not Logan Paul.
So Jake Paul's... He's Tyson Fury?
No, Mike.
Mike Tyson! He's gonna die!
He's gonna be killed! He's going to die!
He might be old. He's still Mike Tyson.
They're putting it on Netflix. Genuinely. Of all the ways to distribute this thing, they are gonna distribute the death of one of the Paul brothers via Netflix.
The thing is, boxing was really getting going when it was under the stewardship of Anthony Joshua, and that we went down, like, there was a nexus point when he lost to the Mexican geezer who was overweight that split us off onto this fucking circus with Tyson Fury and Logan Paul and KSI and all this shit.
Yep. Not a fan of it.
No, boxing's now a travesty of itself.
I don't mind the promotions where it's like, it's just a bunch of YouTubers boxing each other.
Fucking knock yourself
That's
out,
That's fine.
Lad.
Knock yourself literally, out. Literally, but knock yourself out.
But everything else, like Anthony Joshua is now fighting a UFC guy.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, it does not.
It's funny where it's like, the. Do you know who Nathan Barnett is?
No.
Have you heard of Dad or Keith Apicary or any of these other characters?
Yes, I've heard of Keith Apicary. He had like a flirtation with wrestling for a bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As he's in his dad persona, which is like a robot stroke alien there's a whole lore side to it, but he's a weird guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But his entrance into the boxing was, he didn't do any of the performance. He sprinted full pelt into the fucking ring and started the match.
Nice.
It was fucking excellent.
The
Ultimate Warrior approach. That I'd like to see in wrestling, but that's the only cross promotion I want. I don't want the Pauls in this shit.
Oh, God. It's such like a circus of itself. Oh, sorry. Just sport related.
Yep.
Gunther Steiner has gone from the Haas F1
team. Oh no! It's your favourite character.
I know. Well, I've just, the new season's arrived. It's last season whilst he's still there.
Right.
But yeah, he got sacked over the summer. I'm like, oh, he was the protagonist of the show.
I mean, that's the ultimate end of his arc. What's gone wrong this week, Gunther? It's with P45. Whoop!
Whoop! Where were we?
We were nowhere good.
I suppose I'm talking about AEW. You don't want me going in that rabbit hole. Oh, Will Ospreay had a hell of a debut match.
Yeah.
Against Konosuke Takeshita. Fucking hell.
He sounds like a New Japan guy.
He's Japanese, but he's like New Japan apparent, but he's now in AEW going, right. Oh, they had a hell of a match.
Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful. Mm. Anyway.
I know Will Ospreay.
Oh, yeah. It's the one I was telling you about at the end. He had Kenny Omega matches.
That was it, yeah.
And
yeah.
I haven't seen last night's AEW Dynamite, but I know the closing shot is Will Ospreay staring at Bryan Danielson. I'm like, oh God, please. Do it now before he retires. Don't let Bryan Danielson get injured again before he has a dream match. Just do it now.
Did Bryan Danielson fight Kenny? Is that a thing you told me about?
Yes, basically the first match I did in AEW, they were like, right, we've only got Bryan for a limited time. He's retiring within the next 2 to 3 years.
Yep.
Why are we wasting time immediately putting him in a match with Kenny? And they had they've only had one. It was a 60-minute time limit draw.
Jeez.
But it was excellent. Excellent.
What was the thing you sent me the other day? And I was like, I finally understand wrestling as an art form. It was fucking ridiculous. What was it?
You're going to have to look that up.
I found it. It was that thing of like, Jesus.
Oh, let him without sin cast the first stone.
It's sinless Steve! The strut.
And Jesus
beautiful.
Comes in with the chair. It's the greatest storytelling medium.
The Son of God is a fantastic ring name, I will say that. That'd be a hell of a title.
There must be someone. JBL called himself a wrestling god for a while, but he didn't really catch on. Any hoozle, it's so easy to do a Ric Flair impression.
Me and you can do it.
I can do a Ric Flair impression. I'm shit at impressions, right? You just need to be manic, have a bit of a Carolinian accent, and just scream a lot, right? Yep. That's all you do as Ric Flair. Woo!
He's a disgusting old goober who yells woo. That's his thing.
There is I was telling you when we came at the cinema, there's a guy called Jay Lethal, right?
Mm.
He's a black dude. And he did a better Ric Flair impression than the man they got to do in this film.
We need to name and shame this man.
Fucking name and shame.
Aaron Dean Eisenberg.
I feel like...
You are the one person who clearly must have read all the dialogue on the page.
Yes.
And not seen Ric Flair.
Because he can't even woo.
He can't woo.
He goes, whoa.
Whoa.
You know, Ric Flair's famous catchphrase. Whoa!
Ric Flair famous for nearly falling over all the time. Whoa!
It's like the only bit they get is when he comes back to the locker room and he's like, yo, where's the blackjack and hookers at? I'm like, no, that's Ric Flair. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes. None of the... I was flabbergasted at how bad this was.
Ric Flair is probably the only name in that movie outside of the Von Erichs that people will go, I know that.
I know who that is. Yeah.
So, like, the guy, Harley...
Harley Race.
I don't know who Harley Race is.
He's very famous in wrestling circles, but yeah, he was very much a titan of the 70s and 80s, and no one didn't know about him past that.
But, like, even I could tell that was a good performance as Harley Race.
Yeah, because I wasn't sat there going, what the fuck is this?
You didn't need to do that for Ric Flair, because even I was like, nah.
Didn't look like him, didn't sound like him. Literally... dog shit. I could have pulled five random wrestlers off of a fucking WWE C show and gone, do a Ric Flair impression. And if all wrestlers have a Ric Flair and a Dusty Rose impression,
yep,
ready to go at a moment's notice.
And there was Ric Flair, Bo Dallas. And it, like, it would have made
it
more sense.
It would have made perfect goddamn sense. Plus, they're all fucking related in some way or another. So he probably is, Bo Dallas probably is like Ric Flair's fifth fucking nephew twice removed or something. Right. Spoiler alert.
It's good, by the way. Go see it.
Oh, so yeah, it is... Well, it's hard to recommend because, like, I didn't have an inside baseball problem like I did with Fighting With My Family.
No.
I think it was a very good... they made all the choices I would have made, basically.
Yes.
But it is unrelentingly miserable.
It is a drama first and foremost before it is a wrestling movie.
Absolutely.
If you go in knowing it's a drama about wrestlers,
yes,
you're going to have a time. It's not a good time, but, like,
no,
it's at least an introspective time.
Yes.
There we go.
So... it looks like everything's going well. Mm. Like, Kevin Reagan's still annoyed that he's not NWA champion, and now his brothers have kind of... even though he's the one that's properly dedicating himself to wrestling and he's doing steroids and all that jazz, David and Kerry have kind of stolen a bit of march on him. First and foremost, David steals the march and he's going on a tour of Japan.
Mm.
But he meets Lynn James's character, that's Zac Efron's character. They get married, he's going to be a dad, and he's at his wedding... where they do a dope line dance sequence that was quite nice.
Yeah.
And they go backstage and David is like throwing up in the toilet, blood.
Mm.
He's like, ah, oh, don't worry about it. I'm going to be an uncle. I'm jazz. You know, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. Dies 2 weeks later.
Yep. In Japan.
And this very much sets the tone going forward.
So that's accurate.
Yes, that is accurate. That is exactly what happened. He died under semi-mysterious circumstances in Japan.
Mm.
Not great. So there's a Von Erich kid we haven't mentioned yet, Mike Von Erich.
Yes.
Played by Stanley Simmons, who hasn't even got a Wikipedia page, but I recognise him from something.
I feel like I've seen him somewhere.
Right. I don't know if it's one of those generic white boy faces that I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know. Fair enough. But so Mike Von Erich is very much the one that, not that he doesn't care about wrestling, but he has other interests outside of that. He wants to play music, but his dad doesn't recognise it as a...
There's only one art form for him, and it's big meaty men slapping meat.
Exactly. Thank you. It's exactly that. And David kind of falling off is a bit like, well, it might be time to start training Mike. And Mike's clearly bad at this.
Yeah.
He's not good.
Like, no ring presence.
No, Zac Efron's doing his best to train him, but it's just not happening. Now, all of this is then not helped by Kerry Von Erich getting an NWA shot, but it probably should have been Kevin. And Kerry wins.
Yes.
Kerry's made NWA champion. Holy shit. And his dad's finally proud of him and tells him as much. And now, it's portrayed slightly different in the film. They've sped it up for dramatic purposes.
Yeah.
But they imply in the film that the night he wins the NWA championship... He goes on a bike ride, crashes. We haven't even mentioned how shit of a cinema experience we had.
Oh, God,
the fucking loud guy at the back who was just...
It was like watching them exactly like this. It was like watching them. And this exact second was like, I was trying to fucking concentrate. And I had the guy behind me literally on fucking streamer mode, like just narrating what
constant,
was going on.
A stream of consciousness the entire
fucking
time.
Fucking shit. Oh, he's going to crash. Oh, is he crashed?
He's crashed. The second it crashed, it goes silent. You just went, bang.
Fucking prick.
Hey, you still not doing, babe. I was kind of enjoying, like, oh, wow, this is really shit.
Okay, because, like, I was genuinely in the movie, because I didn't know this story prior to this.
No.
You told me the Von Erichs were cursed, and that was all the knowledge I went in with.
Yes.
But this fucking dude, like, the cinema experience sometimes can be wonderful.
Yes. You wait till we tell you about Madam Web experience.
We were
the problem.
But, yeah, like, and then there's just like if you want, like, I quite like putting a movie on that I might have seen before or don't really give a shit about and discussing the movie with my wife as we go along. At home.
Yes.
Not where someone has paid money to be in the room.
No. It
Get
just,
out.
It's just fucking arrogant. It weren't like it was being funny.
No.
So it was just, Anyway, so he crashes his motorbike, yes, and they have to amputate his leg below the knee, basically.
Yes.
He's got a bit of a stump, but that's about it. But the wrestling machine must go on. About this time, he also gets signed to the WWE. Mm. They want to bring him in. So he has to wear a prosthetic leg. And he basically has to learn to not only walk again, but learn to wrestle on a prosthetic leg. And in real life, like, agony every time he's out there.
Yep.
This is not a sport. For There was once a one-legged guy. His name was Zach Gowen, and he was legitimately a one-legged wrestler that Brock Lesnar killed once. of course, it's 2002, Brock Lesnar killed
Brock Lesnar killed everybody, yeah.
He killed this kid like he owed him money. It was bad. So he has to relearn that at the time when his wrestling career is meant to be taking off. This is when they bring Mike Von Erich into it and is like, well, you need to replace Kerry because Kevin needs a tag team partner because we run this place. We need more Von Erichs. And Mike is clearly not doing well.
Nope.
Royally fucks himself up.
Oh, it's bad.
And gets in a coma.
It's the most uncomfortable. Like, there's a lot of shit that happens in this movie. Yeah. Like, a car crash, a death.
Yes.
Multiple deaths, actually, thinking about it. And I think the moment the dude hits the fucking mat.
Yes.
Before it kind of, you get that crane shot spiraling out. I see now why it's so miserable. That was the most miserable thing, because it's just misery.
In a quarterfull room, like, business is not going well. It's clearly going down the fucking toilet. And, yeah, he was meant to have a routine operation. He got a staph infection or something, a clot in the brain, something like that. Mm. And clearly afterwards, he's like he's had a brain injury. Yep. He's not all there.
No.
And it's just the slow decline of him, like, not really accepting his life, not really being able to do what he wants, and he shoots himself.
Wrong brother.
No. Mike Van
Erich. Mike Van Erich
shoots
himself.
Mike, like,
I thought
goes
he just went
a...
missing.
No, because he goes out with a blanket, and then they find him, he shoots himself.
They're fine, yeah.
Or, no, sorry, painkillers. He's painkillers. No, he's not the one that shoots himself.
No.
So, yeah, overdoses, killed himself.
Yeah, walked into the forest, overdosed on painkillers.
Yes. So, it's not good. Kevin Van Erich is, because he's exactly, everyone's having to do a lot with not a lot of, like, he's not an extravagant character, so he has to show it all through, like, silent rage and, like, really fucking pounded this man into the dirt.
Yeah, because Zac Efron, Kevin doesn't have much of a... he's not good on the mic. He can't cut promos. No. He's not much of a talker.
No.
He's all technical all the time.
Yes.
He's kind of like a very much worse Bryan Danielson.
Yes, he is.
Because Bryan Danielson's at least got the vegan king going
on. That he has.
But, so... You lose David, who's your hype man.
Yes.
You lose Kerry, Kerry
has
to retire.
One leg, yeah. And he's essentially not in the Texas promotion anymore. He's off in the WWE, trying to make a name for himself out there. He did get an Intercontinental title run, fair enough, but he was largely called the Texas Tornado.
Mm.
Not great. And now Mike's out of commission and wasn't very good anyway. So you just left with, like, poor Kevin Von Erich with the weight of the family on his shoulders. Dad still being a dickhead. Mom, who's, like, religious through and through.
Yes.
Someone did point out, so the mom is played by, let me find her name, Maura Tierney, which I didn't realise is also the mom from Liar Liar.
Huh.
A film in which Jim Carrey uses the claw as his finishing move.
What?
This woman cannot get away from silly men using the claw on their kids.
Oh no, I've fallen down the Von Erich plot hole. The sink of the Von Erich. She's caught in the Coriolis of the Von Erich.
Can't get out of it. So she's weirdly religious, and he's like, basically, she's fucking dead to what, she's numb to this shit. She does not care about the trials and tribulations of her kids at all. Mm. Only how it reflects on the family, basically.
Yes.
And it's at this point where Fritz Von Erich is trying to give Kevin the run of the company. And it's not going well. They're hemorrhaging money. This is when he gets a call. We are kind of skipping through this, but...
We are, but, you know, you're in spoilers. You clearly want to know what happens.
This is when Kerry phones him saying, look, they don't want to use me. They're trying to believe me. I'm going to be out this film. I'm going to be out this thing sooner rather than later. I need help. Kevin is like, don't do anything. I'm going to come over. No. He phones his dad to say, we need help. And he goes, you're just going to have to sort it between yourselves.
Yep.
It's not my problem.
Literally, like, fucking, you deal with it.
And there's him saying, family's everything, family's everything. You need to be brothers, you need to stick together. And the second it's, like, problematic and it's not something he can easily control, it's just like,
he's out.
And he turns up at the farm just in time to hear Kerry Von Erich blow his brains out with the gun he brought for his dad.
Yep. the family Christmas scene that precedes that.
Oh, it was a bear scene, weren't
it?
It was a bear scene. I didn't like it. It was lots of shouting and close-ups of Jeremy Allen White's face being, like, pent up with rage. Yep. Like, oh, no, not this again. Not this again.
Tobacco! Yeah,
this is where Kevin Von Erich finally snaps and gives his dad what he should have been giving him for 30 fucking years. Like, yep. Really just lays into him and washes his hands. And this is where I felt like Zac Efron was like, right, I'm only going to have two scenes to really do myself a favor. Sylvie is all up in your business.
Sorry, I'm being attacked by a dog.
Sylvie, don't lick the microphone. Get down.
Perfect. Right.
Stay. Good. Good.
That she actually respects you.
Who the fuck knew? Like, Zac Efron was like, right, I'm going to have two scenes to really milk this. Shouting at my dad and crying in front of my kids.
Yep.
And I think he does a great job in both.
Yes.
Finally laying into his dad saying, all of this is your fault. After playing Fritz Von Erich, all of this is your fault. And then there is a nice scene to end it. As nice as this film can muster. Mm. There is a dream sequence, which I didn't expect.
That was a... I think I don't that was like, I don't the think I only like bit where it went a bit over the board for me.
So it's Kevin Von Erich on a lake, rowing his boat to go and hug his brothers.
Yep.
That being Mike, David, and the one that died like when he was a kid.
Yep.
And I was like, that seems a bit...
It was a bit much, wasn't it?
It's been a bit, seems a bit like high school dramatization of it all.
You must be my brother. Oh, a student film. Like.
Yeah, exactly that. Like, we need melodrama. It's time for the dream ballet.
Yep.
So we did that, and then it's Kevin Von Erich at home. He's got his two boys. All he's ever wanted is his brothers. They're all fucking gone. Mm. And he finally cries. It finally is too much for him and just lets it all out.
I don't remember the line of dialogue that sets it off, but it's something like the kids, like,
they're
talking about their dad.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, it got me. I was like,
I was like, mate, that's really, like, good. I'm glad they held out as long as they did for his son to come over and say, it's okay, Dad, we'll be your brothers now.
Yeah, oh, that was it.
Yes.
That was the thing. I was like, oh.
It was so
fuck.
Nice.
That was
good. And, like, we got the good ending is Kevin Von Erich got out.
Yes.
He's still alive to this day. He's had about 9 kids, 2 of which are now... They brought them in as the Iron Claw was coming out. Yeah. MJF didn't really do anything in conjunction with it because I guess he knew he got his part cut. But they gave him a run as a tag team, his two sons. And did I watch any of them? I think they were half decent. And there's like rumblings they might do some more with them. But hey-ho, he got out before things really went downhill. Good for him. Walked away from wrestling. Has a happy life.
Mm-hmm.
Good. The NWA, by the way, didn't have such a great run. It's now owned by Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins.
What?
He owns... Billy Corgan's a massive wrestling fan and he brought the NWA.
What?
Yeah, the NWA was on its arse from the minute Vince was like, no,
the dude
me.
Who sang, despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage.
Yes, he tried to buy TNA, didn't work, brought NWA.
Jeez.
And filmed a cocaine angle on a pay-per-view and that got kicked off as the CW. So
interesting. What the fuck is a cocaine angle? Is it just cocaine?
An angle where one of the managers took cocaine live on the pay-per-view.
Oh!
And then when they were in the site, they were a bit worried and confused as to why all the TV channels playing their shows pulled their...
Interesting.
...pulled their things. So that's what happened to the NWA, in case you were worrying. Ric Flair, on the other hand, is hawking energy drinks and barbecue wings.
Yes.
Sorry. Wings?
Oh, sorry. Whoa wings, you mean.
Yes.
Yeah. But his daughter's on WWE now.
Yes, she's injured, I mean, but yes, she is. So that's the potted history of everyone coming out of this. So yeah, at least Kevin Von Erich got out and lived a happy life away from everybody.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's not going to be for everybody. It's not a happy movie. But the fact that they got no Oscars out of this.
Yeah, not even one nomination.
Like, what's the one you give to, like... No, it's not an adaptation. Is it an adaptation? What do they count when it's like original screenplay versus adapted screenplay?
Adapted screenplay has to be...
A book.
Based on some kind of text, or like if it's reviving a TV show, it would be
right,
adapted.
Okay.
Or if it's a brand, if it's a known quantity before the movie's written.
Yes.
So you could argue this could be adapted screenplay because it will have been pulled from certain biographies the Von Erichs.
Yeah.
So like Barbie's got adapted screenplay.
Right, okay.
Because it's based on a pre-existing law. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I really, but I came to it, I was like, well, I like it, and it's my favourite wrestling movie, but it's still not a fun time.
No.
And I really had to like wrap my brains this morning going like, well, what would you do?
Mm.
And not to blow my own horn, I'm like, I think the Shawn Michaels, the way I pitch the Shawn Michaels...
But I love your Shawn Michaels pitch.
Because I think, again, I don't want to sound like I'm just bigging myself up, but I think the way you get round to the problem of kayfabe is you have it both ways. You have it being a retelling of Shawn Michaels now in AA meetings, retelling his story, because then you can just choose what you're embellishing. Not to compare it to Star Wars, but it's the interpretation of R2-D2's retelling Star Wars, and that's why R2-D2 does all the cool stuff.
That's why he can fly now.
Yes, my Shawn Michaels pitch was the journey of the wills. The journey of the wills, even. And I was like, that's how you do it, because then it can be realistic, but it can also be fanciful, because it's Shawn Michaels retelling his own story.
True, and that it fits his character as a shit heel. So,
yes.
He was a heel, wasn't he?
Oh, he's a big-ass heel. But I was like, because there's not many wrestling... Because I know the Von Erichs in particular were like very cursed.
Mm.
There's not a lot of people where there's not stuff you've got to skirt around. Like, The Rock would never let it happen. Like, he did Young Rock, but that's so airbrushed, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You've got, like, Batista's has a happy ending, I guess, but he was into car theft as a kid.
Mm.
John Cena's would just be fucking boring and no one would care.
Like, he's just such a nice guy.
He is. Stone Cold beat his wife up, so you can't do
that.
Can't really
do that.
No.
Which leaves you with Chris Benoit. And no one's gonna touch the Chris Benoit story.
No, like, they're all bad people. I genuinely couldn't think. And Shawn Michaels has not had a great past. He was a big old alcoholic and drug taker for a while, but at least he found God.
He's the only one you could do that kind of would enter the... And I don't mean this as an insult, although I would like to insult this movie.
Go on.
Is the only kind of Bohemian Rhapsody level movie you could do, Taker.
I did think that. As like, he's so interesting as a person.
Mm.
And you can do all the macabre stuff and really go down that route. I would love an in-kayfabe Undertaker backstory movie where it's him and Kane at the family morticians as kids and Paul Bearer burn it down and all that jazz. Like, do the lore properly would be my option. But that's because I don't think Undertaker's anything bad. Kane's now got something bad because he's a fucking Republican mayor of a town and supports Trump. So
I forgot about that.
Yes. So I don't... Oh, I'm really stupid.
Yeah?
Bryan Danielson's right fucking there, and he's the ideal. He was the scrappy king of the fucking indies, the squarest looking man in the world. It's just Mr. Bryan goes to Hollywood. Like, he went there, he won the world title, he married a model, had to retire, that's your sad bit, came back, and he's now, other than Shawn Michaels, the only person to have two individual Hall of Fame careers. He's the answer to everything. You just do the Bryan Danielson movie.
There you go.
Please and thank you. I'll play him. I'm sure I can bulk up.
Alternatively, has anybody in the Japanese circuit ever had a movie made about them?
No.
And who would be? Because like, is it, what's his name? God, I'm not going to get his name.
Okada.
Right. Is this the big bald dude who just, he's the biggest heel going, his entire thing is he beats everybody, and the one person he purposefully didn't beat was Jushin Thunder Liger.
I can't even figure out who the fuck you're talking about. Is it Muta? No, Muta's not bald. You're going to have to leave that with me.
Yeah, he's in a Super Eye Patch War video about like the art of making people hate you. And his whole thing was he just tears down people.
Was this like from the 80s or like now?
I want to say early 2000s.
Oh, it's Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Stone Pitbull. Yeah, he couldn't beat Juice and Thunder Liger.
He had him, and then like instead of beating him, he just bows. And that's your perfect fucking like arc. That's a good movie.
This thing, I don't know enough about, because you'd have to tell the whole story. Like, Sting's interesting, I guess, but... that's a long story, and it's... I can't move
Some of
fast.
These things just work better as documentaries.
They really do. But if you want to do the Bryan Danielson movie, please tap me up. I will help with that. Yeah, lovely. Right. Plug away, Michael.
You can go and find me on Twitter and Instagram and at that Michael. And you can find Darren on Twitter and Instagram and at the Goodreads. You can find the site on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. We're all on Threads. No one wants to be on Threads.
No.
Using the username Fowley and T or Fowley and T. No, it's at Fowley and T. That's F-O-U-L-E-N-T. You can also go and find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Amazon Music, wherever you can pick up your RSS feed under the username Fowley and T or Fowley and T Podcast, depending on the service you're using. It's probably going to be the latter one, as it turns out. I don't think anybody finds us by our username anymore. I think it's the show name.
Yes.
So I think it's always Fowley and T Podcasts. But it's my vibe to do the whole spiel. And I will do the whole spiel until the day I die. You can go to fansamer.com for more stuff like this. I am so behind on written stuff, and I am so sorry. There is not an Oscars thing. There is not an end of year thing. It is so bad.
You're a busy boy. It's okay.
I've written it. It's ready. I just haven't done the images. Like the end of year one.
Yeah.
But the Oscars one, like, I can't even write. I can't even bring myself.
Yes.
To just like kind of go, well, I think this is going to win based on all these factors, and I want this one to win because it looks pretty.
Yes.
As opposed to, here's a genuine reason why this should win. I don't want it to be shit.
Look,
so, you
kept the streak alive for a fair old time.
Yep.
It means I don't have to use my "and the nominees are" voice this
year. I love that episode.
I know, but it's okay. Things need to change occasionally. It just means next year I'll be even more determined to watch it, and we'll like do the Oscar film, the Oscar podcast alongside the end of year ones, because you're that far ahead of yourself. But we will have, and I'm telling you now, people.
Yep.
If you only listen to one podcast from us all fucking year, make it the Madam Web podcast we're about to record.
Oh my goodness!
It is going to be a worldie, and may legitimately be end up being the best podcast we've ever done. It is a journey.
Not to oversell it, but 10 years of podcasting led to this.
I cannot fucking wait. All of that and more on failentertainment.com.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Popscorn, and we will see you in the next one. Bye, everybody!
Bye!